Welcome to the St. Andrew Sunday Morning Sermon Podcast. You can connect with us online at www.gostandrew.com.
Today's reading is from Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour."
Every so often you have that recurring dream. You've had that dream so many times that it shouldn't surprise you when it returns, but it always does. Like a cat that prowls around in the middle of the night, the dream hides behind a shrub in some dark corner of your subconscious, waiting for the right opportunity to pounce on you in your sleep. It chooses to pounce whenever in your waking life you're faced with some important deadline. A project is coming up at work, or an important presentation is fast approaching on your calendar, or an event that you're responsible for is drawing near. And maybe you're feeling just a little anxious about it because you've been putting it off, the planning, the preparation, all the details. And while there's still time to successfully pull it off, the window of time is quickly closing. It's crunch time. And so before you go to sleep, you resolve to finally get to it tomorrow. Tomorrow, you tell yourself, "I'm going to finally work on it." And then you go to bed, satisfied with your plan, content and worry-free. "I've got this," you tell yourself. But somewhere in the hidden recesses of your subconscious, that cat begins to prowl, waiting for you to fall into a deep sleep to finally let down your defenses so that it can finally pounce on you in the form of a panic dream. Now, I don't know how that dream shakes out for you, but I talk to a lot of preachers who confess this recurring dream that I often have. In the dream, I'm in some college classroom days before I'm to graduate. It's a college literature class that I haven't attended even once the entire semester. And yet I knew all along that I should have gone to that class. I knew that of all the classes, this was the one class I had to attend, but in the dream, I never got around to going. And now here I am on the last day of class, and everyone is proudly handing in their 30-page term paper. The paper they've been working on all semester, the one I've been foolishly putting off. I knew all along that this day would come. Only now, in my dream, it's too late. This, by the way, is not the only preacher's nightmare I have. There's the one where the printer malfunctions and I can't print out my notes, and I can already hear the congregation down the hall singing the opening hymn. There's the one where I'm trying to preach, but I can't get the words out because what I thought was chapstick was actually a glue stick and my lips are completely sealed. Then there's the I forgot to get dressed dream, the where is everyone empty house dream, and the oh my gosh, I can't believe I overslept for church dream. But that's for a different sermon. The worst of them is the deadline dream. I had all the time in the world, but I never got around to doing what I had to do. Have you ever had that dream. It's your mind's subconscious way of informing you that the clock is ticking, it's crunch time. Whatever it is you're supposed to be doing, you can't put it off any longer. Pretty soon, it'll be too late. Jesus tells this awful parable in Matthew 25 about one of those crunch time dreams. If it helps, please remember that it's just a parable. It didn't really happen, and yet it happens all the time. In this parable, the dream is, it's about a wedding party, and already you're thinking that this is going to be a happy story because there's no such thing as an unhappy wedding party. But in this dream, Jesus says that everyone has arrived for the party except for the groom, who is apparently running a little late. I've officiated at thousands of weddings, it seems like. Believe me, whenever the groom is late to the wedding, you know it's not going to be a good story. In this parable, everyone's standing around waiting. The photographer is waiting with his camera in his hands. The caterer has already set up the fajita bar. The DJ has already started playing that set list of love songs from the 70s and 80s. The party is ready to start, but the groom is late. And outside there are 10 bridesmaids who've been waiting since dusk for the groom to arrive. In the ancient world, it's the custom for the bridesmaids to wait outside until the groom arrives so that they can ceremoniously escort him into the party. So they wait outside, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, still no groom. Their little clay lamps are burning the whole time. 10 o'clock, 11, still no groom. At some point, all the 10 bridesmaids slowly drift off to sleep with their lamps still burning. And it happens, says Jesus. And of course it happens. Just when everyone is lights out, the belated groom finally calls ahead from his cell phone. It's about 12 midnight by now, and he says, "I'm on my way. I'm so sorry. I'm 20 minutes late. I'll be there in 10. But 5 of the 10 bridesmaids have literally run out of gas. The oil in their lamps has run dry. They have failed to plan ahead, to top off their oil before they even came to the party, and now their lamps have burned out. They knew ahead of time that they should have checked their oil. They have plenty of time to fill their lamps. But you know how it is. You know how life gets in the way, and time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. And the kids and the work and all the unexpected interruptions and distractions, and you just never get around to it. It's known as the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, but the story feels more like the parable of the 5 burnouts. And it's not that the 5 burned out bridesmaids are bad people. They're no different, actually, from the other 5 bridesmaids whose oil has not run out. There's no distinction here in the story between good and bad bridesmaids. Jesus says the only distinction is not one of moral character, but one of wisdom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise, says Jesus. And that's a judgment determined solely by the measure of oil they had in reserve when it came to crunch time in their lives. The 5 burnouts run down the street to the local 7-Eleven to buy more oil, but when they return to the party, the door to the banquet hall's shut and locked. And they knock and plead with the groom, "Let us in, let us in." But the groom says, "I'm sorry, I don't recognize you." If I were to ask you to identify the obstacles that keep you from attending to what's most important in life, what would make your list? Perhaps you'd list all the responsibilities of your life, the mortgage, the job, the kids, virtual learning, the pandemic, the laundry, the dishes, the demands that you must meet just to keep your ship afloat these days. It's a lot, I know. On most days, there's just not enough time in the day or enough energy left at the end of the day to focus on what's most important right now. And you tell yourself, maybe someday I'll get to it, maybe even tomorrow. Or you might list all the deficiencies and shortcomings of your life. If only I had more education, more opportunity, more money, more dot, dot, dot. If only I was a little smarter, a little older, a little younger. Sometimes it feels like what's required of you on any given day is just a little more than you have to give. And you tell yourself, I'm giving all I've got. Or you might list all of your old wounds or your past failures. If only this had never happened to me, you say, or if only those things had gone this way instead of that way. While everything on that list of yours might be true, your list isn't going to change a thing. You're still stuck. Only now you have many excellent excuses, which make you feel a little bit better, at least for now. But what about later? Will there come a day when it's too late to act on what you know you must do now? Just before Jesus said goodbye to his disciples and was crucified, he said to them, I'll be back for you. It may take a while, but some of you won't taste death before you see me again. But like that bridegroom, Jesus, it turned out, was late. The disciples waited. They waited and waited, 10 years, 20. Some of them died off, 30 years, 40. Only a few remained. And new converts were told the same message, Jesus is coming back. And so they waited. But they eventually grew discouraged. Is he ever going to come back? So Matthew tells the early church a story. It's a story that Jesus told his disciples about 10 bridesmaids who waited and the 5 who burned out in their waiting. They just ran out of gas. The point of the parable is that when your account is overdrawn, when your tank is depleted, and your lamp goes out, your life will grow dim and dark. The doors will shut and you become indistinguishable from anyone else in the world, despite what Jesus tells us that we, all of us, are to stand out in the world. He said, you are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, they put it up on a lampstand so that it will light the entire room. This is Matthew's message to the early church. You are a distinctive, luminous people. You are meant to be a beacon to which others are drawn, the flame by which the darkness of this world is overcome. But how can you shine if you have failed to tend to the flame, to kindle the fire, to replenish your inner reserves? Our lives can be so easily, so subtly drifting away from us. Our lamps can burn out before we even notice. And we find ourselves saying, I'm burned out, I'm stressed out, I'm spent, I'm burning the wick at both ends, I'm out of gas. And sometimes we don't even have to say it. Others can see it in us. Our lack of patience with others, depression, insomnia, addiction, anxiety, relational problems. The truth is that rarely do we at once just run out of gas. The truth is the light most often dims slowly over time, often so slowly that we don't immediately notice what's happening in our lives. The light slowly drains as our internal resources diminish, and before we know it, we've lost our light. We know that there's a party going on somewhere else, but we can't get through the door. The late preacher Frederick Speakman told the story of walking down the aisle of an empty church after worship one afternoon, and he noticed that some things were left behind. A bulletin with a shopping list in the margins, a pair of gloves, a pencil on the floor, a candy wrapper on the seat. He stared at the empty sanctuary and thought to himself, I wonder what else has been left behind today. Wouldn't it be every pastor's dream to come down the aisle after worship and find other items? In this pew, a woman's deep grief. There, a man's bitter disappointment. In another section, some secret sin. Over here, a badly bruised ego. The remains of a heated argument. Anger, guilt, hurt, all the stuff that can beat us up and burn us out. All that stuff left behind, emptied, and replenished by God's grace. Here we are, almost a year now into a global pandemic that has turned our lives upside down. Wearied and worried after a contentious election cycle, facing a tall mountain of uncertainty and a deep chasm of social division. Reports suggest that we are the most anxious, stressed out, burned out generation in American history. As a result of the pandemic, nearly one half of all parents of children under the age of 18 currently report that their stress levels are high, at least an 8 on a 10-point scale. One in four Americans report living with extreme stress. More than one out of every two Americans report stress levels that are unhealthy. 48% of Americans report that their stress has increased over the past 5 years. 31% of adults report difficulty managing work and family responsibilities. And the demographic most vulnerable to stress as a result of the pandemic is Gen Z, ages 13 to 17. What are the consequences of stress and burnout? Psychologists tell us that burnout is defined by three dimensions of exhaustion, cynicism, and a diminished sense of personal achievement. In other words, burnout drains us of energy, hope, and effectiveness. And when we're drained, we have to refill and replenish. We have to draw new life from the deep well of God's grace. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." We have to give ourselves permission to be refilled. This is what it means to live the kingdom life, to replenish in order to burn more brightly for the world. Author and activist Parker Palmer says that we usually associate burnout with trying to do too much, but burnout actually comes from simply trying to give what we do not have. Burnout is a state of emptiness, but it comes not from giving away what we once had, but rather trying to give what we never had to begin with. You can't give what you do not have. The parable says, pay attention to the signs. When the fuel gauge lights up on the dashboard, you know you're running out of gas. And there will come a point when you can't keep going and still call it progress. When your mind and your body, your spirit is telling you that your light is growing dim, you must make some changes. Can I give you 5 quick keys to keeping your lamp lit? Number 1, daily renewal. How do you start your day? And how do you end your day? Do you have a daily ritual or routine that makes time for listening to God's call on your life and then surrendering the uncontrollable back to God? Our days are made up of causal time, and pausal time. And causal time is that time in which we commit to making some difference in the world. And pausal time is that time in which we reflect on what kind of difference we did or didn't make today. If we fail to pause, we encumber our cause, and we risk then casting shadows rather than radiating light. Number two, weekly Sabbath. Do you take a day off every week to allow God to do for you what you cannot do for yourself? To be reminded that the world actually can go on and someday will go on without you? That your inherent worth and beauty comes not from what you do or what you produce, but from the face of God simply beholding you in delight. Number three, sanctuary. Do you have a place of refuge or an activity that allows you to find peace and quiet, to lose yourself, to quiet the monkey mind, and find deep rest in your own skin through meditation, prayer, yoga, hiking or cycling or running, some artistic creative activity, or some other expression that gives you respite? Number four, wonder. Do you have a place, a ritual, an activity that draws you out of the mundane just enough to taste and see the beauty and goodness and wonder of God? To be inspired, to know the meaning of breathtaking, to be rendered speechless, if only for a moment. And finally, charity. Do you have a means by which you can give yourself away in service to others in need? Feeding the hungry, visiting the sick, marching peacefully for justice, sitting with the lonely. Sometimes, when you are most burned out, you meet in the face of the least of these a grace that rekindles the light within you. The parable says, replenish your oil because you can't borrow it. You can't live off of someone else's joy. You must find the oil for yourself. And when we put off prayer and worship, sacraments, intimate relationships, works of mercy, we quickly become like an oilless lamp of little use. We grow dim, even dark. And we become good for very little. The parable says, time will run out on all of us when one of these days becomes today. We can't keep putting it off, saying, one of these days I'm going to work less and give more to my family, or one of these days I'm going to take that class or write that letter or make that call or serve at the food pantry or the shelter. We put it off, and then it's midnight. Like you, I have many excellent excuses for all the things I put off. But the longer I put them off, the more I become unrecognizable to myself and to others and to God. And the parable says that there's this party going on in this world. If we want to join it, we must drop our list of excuses, replenish our reserves, and go on shining. Our takeaways for this Sunday: when our tanks are depleted, our lamps go out, and our lives grow dim. We can't give what we do not have. God replenishes us through our commitment to daily renewal, weekly Sabbath, sanctuary, wonder, and charity.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. And if you'd like more information, go to www.gosaintandrew.com. See you next week.